My name is Hunter Smola. I am age 16. Today is the 25th. I'm speaking with Carol Faree, who is my grandmother. We are recording this in Austin, Texas. Alrighty, what was your childhood like, Grandma?
My childhood was interesting, unique. Both of my parents worked, which back in the early 50s was unique. Most women did not work, they stayed at home. So my mom worked two jobs, my dad worked one, and I kind of was alone by myself because my three older sisters were in school for longer periods of time than I was. When I was in kindergarten, my teacher, and I remember this quite vividly, she became pregnant and she was expecting her child. So she left my class, and I didn't like the new teacher. So I used to walk to school, which was just a block away, and I would, rather than go to school, I would come back through the alleyway, and this was in Michigan, and I would stand behind the house until I knew my mom had left, and I would go through the basement window that was open, and I would ditch kindergarten. I never got punished for that, for whatever reason. But as I progressed, I started liking school. That was just one of my experiences. And when I was 11, my mom died. So my dad, my three sisters got married in a year after my mother's death, and my dad remarried, and we moved, when I was 12 years old, we moved to San Diego, California from Wyandotte, Michigan. And so I lived, my first Christmas was where I went swimming, which, where I came from, it would be snowing, and it was snowing. That's about all I remember of my childhood. I mean, I went to junior high, I went to high school. I had to repeat seventh grade because I started, according to California, I started at midterm seventh grade, which I don't exactly understand why, but anyway. So I repeated a full term of seventh grade when I moved to California, which was fine. And my favorite class was math.
That's interesting. Alrighty, so let's head on to the next question. Tell me about your parents.
My dad was in the moving company, a large moving firm in Detroit, Michigan. And my mom was... My first mom was the church organist, the assistant choir director, and she also was what you would call today as assistant, co-editor of a church newspaper out of Detroit, Michigan. My second mom, she graduated from Henry Ford Hospital. In fact, one of the senior Ford members handed her her diploma when she graduated. And she's the one who taught me how to cook. My first mom taught me how to love and appreciate people. My second mom continued teaching me how to love and appreciate people for the people that they are, and how to cook. and how to sew. And I still do that to this day. Love it.
Yes.
Yes.
Alrighty. Tell me about your siblings. Were you close with them or kind of distant?
Actually, the sister that's closest to me in age is 7 years older. So she's the one that I'm probably closest to. The next oldest sister is 10 years older, and the oldest sister is 12 years older. So I knew them, but I didn't interact with them a lot when I was growing up. They were off doing their school experiences. And as I said, my first mom died, they got married. And they lived in different spots of the United States. And of course, then I moved to San Diego. So I didn't have a lot of interaction with them after that happened.
I see. Alrighty. I basically finished all my questions, but I'll ask you some others. What was your job that you did for like most of your life?
Oh, I was very blessed. I decided that I wanted to work in the medical field. I was a candy striker when I was 16 in San Diego, and I loved it. And my second mom was a registered nurse. So it kind of came to me that was something that I was interested in. But because I got married so young and didn't go to school, I started as I wanted to work for Kaiser Permanente, which is a large HMO in California. So I went there and applied, and I asked them what would it take for me to get a job here, and they suggested me taking medical terminology, which I did at night. And it took me a year back in the early 70s from the time of applying for the job to get the job. And I worked for them for 38 years and I loved it. I started out as a receptionist. And back in those days, the doctors, if they asked you to do more, at least in San Diego, they encouraged you to do more. So that's how I got a taste for being a medical assistant. And in San Diego, since most of our physicians were retired Navy retired physicians, they were used to taking buck privates and training them in the medical field. So they fortunately took us under their wing. And the more questions you ask, the more they would do one-on-one in training you how to be a better medical assistant. And they were very encouraging. And it got to be where we would have classes once a month. Specifically in the department that I worked in was orthopedics. And the physicians would give us classes on the fractures, the type of fractures, how they were treated, why they were treated differently than another type of fracture, and the course of care that would be taken for each individual patient. That continued on with the surgical patients. When I was in San Diego, we were trained to do wound dressings, and we would even train the family on how to do sterile technique so that they wouldn't have to come in every day and to get their wound dressings changed. So we would teach the family how to do wet to dry dressings, which was the way they cared for them back then, under sterile technique. And we had very positive results as a result of that, both from the patient's family, and the care and the healing that took place. So I was very fortunate that I worked with a group of physicians that were interested in training someone who didn't go to school but had the interest and the desire to learn.
Yes. Alrighty. What was your favorite memory that you have of working at Kaiser?
Wow.
Or just like a memorable one?
Actually, working in orthopedics in San Diego was probably my favorite memory. I always tried to tackle every day, seeing what I could do to make each and every patient, but if not each and every patient, because not every patient is accepting of your wanting to take care of them, but trying to do the very best I could for the patient so that they felt comfortable in telling the physician any aches or pains that they had or any concerns that they had, that no question that they would ask was silly to ask, and encouraging them to have that personal connection with the physician. We had some fantastic physicians in San Diego and actually in Northern California as well, but they were board certified, which is the epitome of certification, because your peers, physician peers, are the ones who give you that certification, which is a board certification. And our physicians, within 2 years of becoming a hired physician in Kaiser, are now required to be board certified. So the physicians and the patients were like extremely rewarding, and the friendships that I received from them.
Right. Let me think. Do you have any like memorable moments from your parents that you can remember off the top of your head? Or?
Yeah. From my first mom, whenever she was upset about anything, she would say, "Come on, let's get in the car." And we would go in our car and go down by the water, the Detroit River, which is between Lake Ontario and Lake Erie. And just sit there and just watch the water. Just, I love that. I love being near water. And she was just a very loving, caring mom. And I treasure the time that I had with her. My second mom, I wasn't sure that I needed a second mom, so I was a little resistant to her, but she was probably, she was my blessing in that she helped me understand my three sons, encouraged me to be a better mom, and always, she wouldn't let me have the boys be not doing anything during the summer, so she would negotiate with me where she would pay for them to go to like an art class for a week during the summer. If she'd pay for one son and I'd pay for the other. When we got to three sons, where I had three sons, it would be just making sure that they were busy. I would take them to work with me and they would explore Balboa Park, which they loved. And back in those days, you could have your kids explore Balboa Park. And they would come home, they would come back to me at work, because I worked right near Balboa Park. And they would come back and they'd say, "Can I have 75 cents?" And I would dig out some money. And they were going and buying rocks at the Museum of Natural History. So, and she taught me how to cook. She taught me how to be a better person, how to sew, how to love to sew. She was just a very, very intelligent lady, loving, loved the grandsons. There was nothing she wouldn't do for the grandsons. My dad, he was very interesting. He went from when he was in college, he graduated from University of Michigan. He also went to USC for a year, but he was in vaudeville, which is old time entertainment, and loved it. He was in, he loved movies, he loved football, he loved music. Music of all kinds, mostly classical, but he would even listen to my music, and he taught me a good appreciation for music and just to enjoy life the way it, as it comes to you, because there's a purpose. So that's what I remember. He had a good sense of humor, very good sense of humor.
Alright, had a question.
Let's see.
How was my dad as a child?
Oh, your dad, being the youngest of three boys, he was cute. He was a very easygoing child. And because he was the third one, it was a little bit easier. But he was adventurous, sometimes a little too much. He was willing to do just about anything. He was willing to learn anything. He was really starving to learn different things. Very thoughtful, very kind. For instance, when he was 5 years old and my second mom was over at her house visiting, he brought this little girl up and was holding her hand, and he said, "I want you to meet my grandma." So this little girl that he said, "Lori, this is my grandma. Grandma, this is Lori." And it was like, I couldn't believe he was even doing it. For a five-year-old to do that, your uncles never did anything like that. But there's just a very gentle side to him. And it perpetuates today. But today, he's a good dad. He's an excellent dad. He's an excellent husband. He's everything that I would want a son to be. Loves to cook. Takes pride in what he is, his beliefs, and is very protective of his family. His sons are everything. His wife is everything. He adores your mom. I think he feels lost when either you or your brother are not around. He loves the purpose of being a dad. He has thrived on being a dad. And he takes it seriously, but he enjoys it.
All right. Was there any like memorable moments of my dad that you have them, like,
ooh,
just like
a couple. The time that he borrowed a friend's big wheel, which is that huge plastic piece of, it's like a bicycle, but it's a reclining bicycle, and he was going down a road that people go 55 miles an hour on, and a policeman got him, stopped him and brought him up to the house and said, "Is this your son?" And I said, "Yes," and couldn't figure out why a policeman was bringing Mark, who was then about 5 years old, up to the house. And he said, I found him down on Fatherhood Nipperosera Road riding this big wheel. And I said, "What big wheel? He doesn't have one." He borrowed a friend's. There was that. There was his first apartment after he had left the house. And he invited me over to the apartment. And I sat down on the couch. And he said, well, aren't you going to inspect the apartment? I said, I don't come here to inspect your house. This is your house. And he said, no, I want you to look. So he took me into his bedroom. And he had everything folded neatly up on the shelf. There was a place for shirts, whatever. It was all folded. Everything was hanging perfectly in the closet. The bed was made. It was spotless. But he just, and I said, that's amazing. Because that's not how his bedroom used to look. Because he would sleep on top of his bed would always be made. He'd sleep on top of the made bed and just have a blanket over it.
That's what I do.
See? Too much like your dad. So that he always had a bed made and he didn't have to worry about it. He was into off-road biking. I wasn't real fond of that. He was a tile setter. I think he was the gopher first, and then he learned how to set tile, and also knew how to hone granite before you could get it prefabbed. And his cooking, I think his cooking just absolutely is so impressive to me. He's taught me how to have a better appreciation of how to cook and what to cook, and to have a pride in how to present it. So your dad is a very impressive man, and now that he's having to take online courses so that maybe he can, hopefully he'll get encouraged and go for his associate's degree. But we'll see. I think any employer that gets him would be very fortunate, because he has honesty, integrity, love of country, love of family. His family's first, no matter what. You and your mom and your brother are first before anybody else. And that's impressive, because there aren't too many men like that anymore. So it gives you something to strive for.
Yeah?
Yes.
Alrighty. Thank you, Grandma, for letting me interview you.
You're welcome.
Alrighty.
That's good. Thank you for the questions.